Romans 15 tonight. Romans 15. Romans 15. I wanted to preach a sermon that stuck out tonight, so
might be had some orange paper in the printer. So Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit. I thank you for your blessed precious Son who is our Savior. I thank you for the salvation that you have wrought for us, for that which we are enjoying in fellowship with you and in fellowship with one another, because of all that you have done for us through the cross of Calvary, through the blood of your blessed Son. And Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. And Lord, now by faith, I just look to you and ask for the filling of thy Spirit, that you'd help me to minister the word to your dear people tonight. Fill Sister Pat with your spirit in the nursery, watching the children. We thank you for all those who minister there. Father, help my wife in the deaf class there, Lord, and fill with thy Spirit, and help Anna and Lois and there as well. Might you just edify there. And Father, for us all here tonight, might you help us by your Spirit. Might you be glorified. Might your blessed Son be lifted up. And might we be drawn closer to you. Might we be refreshed in some way by your word and by your Spirit as we continue in the week, if you tarry. And Father, we do thank you for the promise of your coming. And I pray that that would become more precious in our hearts as the days go by. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 8, Paul writes, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promise made unto the fathers. So what are some things that we can learn from what Paul writes there? Well, Christ is the supreme fulfillment and fulfiller of all the promises that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Thank you so much, Brother Dennis. And so Christ is the fulfillment and the fulfiller of those blessed promises. He is the way of salvation to the whole world, isn't he? He has purchased salvation and every blessing related to it with his blood upon the cross. And by the way, he's the Messiah. He's the ruler of the world to come. He's the creator and giver of every blessing in the millennial kingdom as well. And so we see how all those things come to a head in Christ. By the way, in him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God is pleased that in him should all fullness dwell. And Paul is relaying this truth. And here Paul is referring to some dispensational truths. Remember, he did that back in Romans 11. And as he talked about Israel being set aside so the Gentiles could come in, how the nation of Israel was set aside. And we saw chapter 11, nations, 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 God using choosing to do that. And so Paul is mindful here. He is very mindful that he said in one place, he says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Paul realized there was a change in time happening here. There was a change in God's dealings with man happening. And that change was the Messiah has been revealed. Now it's not enough just to believe that he's coming because he came. Those in the Old Testament, they were saved by faith in his coming. Every prophecy, they believed it. They believed he was coming. They believed the prophets about the Messiah. That was their justification by faith for them. But now that's over. Paul knows that. That's not enough anymore. Why? Because he's come. And now we know who he is now. And we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who died a little over 2,000 years ago on that cruel cross in Jerusalem, that one who was given. And so he's very aware of that. And he says that Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Minister, he's a servant. Obviously, he's speaking of a dispensation there. See, Christ came what? As a servant, didn't he, the first time? Is he coming as a servant the second time? No, far from it. He's coming as a reigning and ruling king. And by the way, we'll be serving him. Amen. All the world will be serving him the next time he comes. But in that dispensation, what? He came as a servant. And he came as a minister. He said about himself in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. In Mark 10, 45, he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So he came that first time to be a servant and to minister to others. He indeed was a servant. Remember when he was washing the feet, you know, he says, "Who's greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves?" And then he says, "Is it not he that sits at meat?" But then he said, "But I am among you what? As he that serveth." As he that serveth. It's enough what? For the disciple, if he be what? As his master. So if our master was a servant, that's good enough for us too, isn't it? That ought to be we ought to look at as a high calling. And I've shared this before. Someone in jest said to me one time in Bible college, they were greeting me, and he said, "Hello, Bob Crawford, servant of the Most High God." And I thought, you know, that's great. And that's a great title. If people would look at it just as servants of the Most High God, as servants of Jesus Christ, that would be enough, wouldn't it? And because that's what we are. He's a minister. He's a minister of the circumcision. Now, what's he talking about the circumcision? Well, circumcision, even though it preceded the law and Judaism, where did circumcision start? Remember, it started with Abraham. By the way, was Abraham Jew? When circumcision started? No, he wasn't. He was a Gentile. Well, Abraham was a Gentile when he believed, and then he became a Jew through that rite of circumcision. So that was before the law, but it came to be known as synonymous with the law, and we'll see that in a few scriptures in Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. Is one of those scriptures. Someone want to read that, Acts 10, 45? Brother Austin?
"And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit."
So, they're talking about when Peter went to Cornelius and preached. Cornelius was a Gentile, and Cornelius got saved. And those Jews and such that were with him, they were astonished. Now, but notice it puts people in two categories. They of the circumcision, which believed, and then what? They were amazed because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you have the circumcision and Gentiles. Who's the circumcision? Jews. Those are under Judaism. So you see, it's used synonymously with that. You find in Acts 11, 2, earlier, they were contending with Peter. They of the circumcision contended with him. Paul likens it to the law, or being under the law, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 25. Someone want to read that, Romans 2, 25. Lindsay? So there Paul is likening it to the law as beginning, well, I'm going to keep the law. I want to become a Jew. I'll keep the law. What's the first thing you got to do? Well, they have to be circumcised. And so Paul says, well, if you're going to keep the law, which they would start by circumcision, then it's not going to profit you to what? Unless you keep the whole law. You're going to have to keep the whole law. If you break it, then that doesn't really matter. So Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. Jesus was of the Jews. He was of the circumcision. As he came from the Jews, as far as a human ancestry through Mary, but he also ministered to the Jews. He came to serve first the Jews by fulfilling the law, so they could be redeemed from the law. Remember when he was talking to that woman at the well, and in John 4:22, and she says, "Well, your fathers say it, Jerusalem's where you ought to worship, and our fathers say it's in this mountain." And Jesus answered her in John 4:22, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Why? Because he came from the Jews. That's the whole reason God raised up that nation. He promised to bring the Messiah through them. That's the whole reason. He was good to them when they didn't deserve it. That's the whole reason he has preserved them, brought them back to their land. Not because they're worthy, not because they're better than any other nation, just because that's what he chose to do. And he, by the way, he wanted to show us his power and his glory, saying, watch this. Now, he worked through individual men before the dispensation of the law and such came along. But when that dispensation of promise came, earlier he told Abraham, I'm going to raise up what? A nation. You're going to be a father of many nations, and one of those nations I'm going to bring the Messiah through. And watch what I can do with a nation. And that's what God was showing off. By the way, he's allowed to do that, amen? And he's allowed to glory, amen? And we glory in him. That's what he was doing. He came to do that. When the Syrophoenician woman came to him for healing of her daughter, remember what his answer was? He said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, Paul is pointing out, Christ was under another dispensation. Paul has what? Been given the responsibility for another dispensation. Christ was under the law. Paul is under what? Grace is under grace. Galatians 4, 4 and 5, someone want to read that? Sister Stephanie? Amen. Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Who's under the law? The Jews. He came to redeem them. By the way, in a sense, the Gentiles were too. We were under the law of what? Conscience. Romans 1 talks about that. We'll get there in a moment. But he's the fulfillment of all these promises for Israel. In Malachi 3:1, the scripture says, God speaking, "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me." And the Lord, who's that? God in the Old Testament. "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." He did. And they cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Malachi 3:1. "Even the messenger of the covenant." What covenant? The new covenant. He's bringing the new covenant in. He's going to shed the blood, which will be the what? The blood of the new covenant. He's under the old covenant, but he's going to shed the blood that's necessary for the new covenant. So he's the messenger of the covenant in that way. whom ye delight in. But when he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And he indeed did. And they didn't recognize him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. See, the Gentiles have always been included. By the way, God was saving Gentiles before there was any Jews, okay? God's always had the world in mind. And he just chose to use the nation of Israel in a special way, the special way of bringing the Messiah through them. But he's always had the world in mind. We see as it is written there in verse 9. You'd find that in Psalm 18:49. If you don't have a note in your Bible that shows that, you might want to note that. Psalm 18:49. The psalmist says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Confess thee among the Gentiles. And so it's written in the Old Testament prophets. See, the Apostle Paul has before proven that the Gentiles were also in need of Christ's perfect sacrifice for their sins. Although they were not under the law of Moses, they were condemned, what? By rejecting the message of creation, those who became idol worshipers. Romans chapter 1 talked about that, remember? So they were condemned because what? They rejected the light that creation had given, that there is one creator. And then failing to live up to the law of their own conscience. Condemn them. You know, how many people would be able to say, you know, everything that I believe is right ought to do, I've always done. And everything that I believe that's wrong to do, I've always refrained from that. Who could say that? About as many as could say I've kept all the law. Big zero on that one. And so the Gentiles were in need of that perfect sacrifice as well, even though they were not under the law of Moses. They still had light that God had given them, which they had were rejecting in their sin, and worthy of that condemnation. They also were promised blessings in Abraham. We'll trace a little bit about Abraham's this blessing in Abraham. Genesis 26:4. Who wants to read that? Brother Brian. So, all the nations, by the way, that's the Gentiles. God's going to bless the world through this seed of Abraham. And Paul becomes more specific about this seed in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Who wants to read that? Galatians 3:16. Brother Dennis? So, what is the seed through which all nations will be blessed? Rather, who is the seed? Anybody? It's Jesus. And by the way, there's only one. The great blessing is who? It's Christ. He is it. He didn't say, he said seed one. That is the blessing. That's the one seed. Now, he's the one. Now, how is that? What is that? But it's a person. But what is he doing? Well, look at Acts 3:26. What is that blessing? Acts 3:26. Who wants to read that? Here you'll find the blessing defined. It's a person that Abraham's gonna bring forth eventually, and this person's going to do something, and that's the whole blessing that God's talking about. Acts 3:26. Brother Austin?
To you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquity.
So there it is.
very plainly. In these shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now you can say, I know exactly what God's talking about there. The blessing he's talking about is one person. It's Jesus Christ. And what's he going to do? He's going to provide what? Salvation. He's going to turn every one of you away from your iniquities. He's going to call you to himself. Call you to salvation. And you know that now. And we don't have to wonder what that blessing is or who that blessing is or how it is he's going to bless, what he's talking about there. It's that person that's defined there in the scriptures for us. See, but the Jews had become so proud and ignorant of their own scriptures, they didn't believe that anyone could be saved without becoming a Jew first. Matter of fact, when Christ came along, they really had gotten away from even the law itself. They were actually living by men's interpretations of the law. And they were so far off. I mean, they were telling a person, you know, well, you're supposed to honor your father and mother, but, you know, if you were going to take care of your father and mother with some of that money you have, but you know, if you give that money as a gift to the priests in the temple, God will accept that. And you want to take care of your mom and dad. That's how far they were going. Jesus said what? They were disobeying the scriptures to keep their own, everything they added to it. And the rabbis' interpretations of the scriptures and all those things. They were books and their own teachings steps away from the scripture and what they were worshiping as the scripture, not the Bible itself. That's why Jesus came to restore the law. And John Baptist came to restore the law and to say, here's what the law requires, perfection, to set it straight. They become so proud that they had these rules that they made, and they thought they were keeping them. Jesus said about them, they give all these commandments, they say and they do them not. They won't lift them with one little finger. And that's the way they were, how sad it had become. Now, remember when the Apostle Paul was captured by the Jews? Finally, they got their hands on him. They tried multiple times to get him on his missionary journeys and such. And then he went back to Jerusalem to wanted to make the feast there. And after his third missionary journey there, and they captured him. Like to kill them, except for the centurion pulled him away from the crowd and eventually took him to arrested him and took him to Caesarea. And so Paul, when he was giving testimony before these authorities in Acts 22:20, he was talking about the life that he lived as a Pharisee. He says, and they know it. They kept record of those things, those fastings and those purifications that, you know, that Paul did in the temple there at Jerusalem. And Paul says, when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He's telling them what Jesus said to him. And he says, and then as he's talking to that crowd, they gave him audience unto this word. Until he mentioned something about Gentiles and being saved. They gave him audience unto this word. Then lifted they up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. What? Go far hence unto the Gentiles? Away with such a fellow. That's how they'd become. How amazing. How far you can go when you get away from the word. But Paul's reminding again and again, no, Gentiles have always been, it's always been the world. Look at verse 10. Again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. You'd find that in Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O ye nations, that's the Gentiles, with his people. And it's always been there. Verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. That's Psalm 117 and verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, there it is, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Time and again we see it in the Bible. And again, verse 12, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust.
Someone want to read Isaiah 11:1 and then 11:10. Brother Brian?
There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
And then verse 10.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles see, his rest shall be glory.
All right there, Paul's saying, look, how could they miss it? The Gentiles. And by the way, what is Paul doing? He's writing to Gentiles. He's reminding them how much God has always had them in that plan, and that it's time for them to come in. It's the church age now, and God is fulfilling what He said He would do, even though His own received Him not. And matter of fact, the Bible, we learned earlier what? That He blinded His own for a while so that He could do this and send His missionaries to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles would come in. And fulfilling that. And by the way, we'll look at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, what? In believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, because the truth is this: the ground of hope and blessing is not the law for either the Jew or the Gentile. The ground of hope for both, what, is the same. It's the gospel of Christ, which brings joy and peace and the power of the Holy Ghost to all that, what? Believe. Through believing, it brings that what? To the Jew and to the Gentile. There's no difference when it comes to salvation. By the way, it never has been. Always been by faith. As more was revealed about the Messiah, faith was acquired to be also in that new revelation. But it's always been by faith. By faith in Christ. There's no difference. Read a couple verses here and wind it down here. Acts 15:9. Just raise your hand. I'll give you a minute to look it up, and then I'll give you another one. Stephanie, my sister Stephanie. Romans 3:22. Brother Dennis. And Romans 10:12. Sister Lindsay. All right, Acts 15:9. No difference, Paul said, between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? Faith. Romans 3:22. By the way, read 3:23 also, Brother Brian. Dennis. Or Brother Dennis. Romans 3:22 and 23.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
And then 4 goes on to say what? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. There's no difference. It's the only way. Only way. Romans 10:12.
But there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord overall is rich.
No difference between the Jew and the Greek. God will save whosoever. By the way, are Jews and Gentiles whosoever? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, they were only special in a sense because God chose to bring the Messiah through them. They began thinking there was something special spiritually about them, themselves, above others. And God condemned that. God, that's where we get the term holier than thou. God said that in the prophets to Israel. They had become and thought they were holier than thou because God had preserved their nation. They didn't deserve to be preserved. God, and by the way, God came right out and told them that. Not because of your righteousness. You're going to destroy all these nations, not because you're righteous, but because they're wicked. And I'm judging them now. And yet He was merciful and gracious to them. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. By the way, what's that Christian life all about? Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision obeyeth anything, nor uncircumcision, whether you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter, but what? Faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. You know, the more we believe the promises, the more we'll love Christ. And you know what? The more we'll love Christ, the more we'll yield to the Holy Spirit of God and walk in His will. And that's what God has planned. That's what God has had for us all along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And dear God, I thank you for making salvation free. Who would have thought of that but such a loving God as you, such a loving Father as you, to offer a salvation so rich that we fail for words to explain it, and yet to purchase it at such a cost, at the sufferings of Christ, and that we, but by faith, may receive it. Anyone, yielding to your Spirit, believing in you, is immediately saved. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Thank you, God. And I thank you that once we are saved, we are signed, sealed, and as good as delivered. And we have here but yet to work out our salvation while we're here on this earth. We don't work for it. It's done as far as in your eyes. And God, help us to love you and to walk in your will, that we might not walk contrary to you, so we'll know more joy in our lives, and so we'll be used by you more. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.